Welcome back to the Power Hour. Stan Deo sitting on hold here. We're making a video of this. In fact, I better hit record while I can remember here. We're recording Stan Deo, so that'll be up on our YouTube channel. Now, you know about what happened there. Our channel got killed, but we started back, and we're getting some good momentum there. And so you'll be able to see Stan in all his glory. Now he's got a rainbow background with angels. This is fantastic. Very good. On the video, you also get to see our new shirts. I'm wearing our shirt today with the Power Hour logo. Stan, I mean, tell the audience, is that not a cool logo or what? Is that not
cool?
That's
cool. It looks like a presidential campaign button.
Well, we're campaigning for freedom, for America. So that's what we're campaigning for, freedom, the Power Hour. And, of course, our guests, we're talking to him, Stan Deo. He's held above top secret clearance in many avenues of the government, working with the FBI undercover. He's part of an exclusive black project. We may get into that, talking about flying saucers, what have you. He is most known nowadays for StanDeo.com, which is an incredible resource of all kinds of information. It's a pleasure to have him as always. He's a patriot. He's a hero of mine. Stan Deo, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Good to be back, Daniel. It's been a while. And by the way, let me correct you a bit there. StanDeo.com, our website, is run by my wife, Holly. She does it 6 days a week and gets up at about 4 to 4:30 every morning, way ahead of me.
Wow.
And gathers all these news things up until about 10 in the morning. So she's the real architect of that.
Well, God bless you and your wife, especially Holly. Holly, if you're listening, hello from the Power Hour. Thank you for what you do, Holly. I'll just start with a pretty open-ended question. What's the biggest thing on your mind right now? It's crazy times. What's most forefront of Stan Deo's mind?
Right now, it's the Middle East situation and how it fits into biblical prophecy. I have been studying this since about 2015, I think it is, when I started looking at Saudi Arabia and the prince of King Salman, his son, Mohammed bin Salman. They call him MBS for short. And at the time, I thought it was rather interesting that MBS was the initials, like the consonants, that even Nostradamus talked about the Antichrist at this time would have. And then this young prince, about 2016, I think, 17, somewhere near, he formed an Arabic union of the Sunni Muslim nations of 34 nations. And it's called A Arabic Union, U. And if you put those vowels up into MBS, which they call him in the Catholic, in, you know, wherever he is, it makes M-A-B-U-S, Mabus. And that's what Nostradamus said the Antichrist, this name would be known as, Mabus. So I thought, okay, well, we'll put it up there. I don't trust Nostradamus as much as I trust the Bible, but we'll put it up there. And then I started building a whole page of potential candidates, not just him, people who might somehow fit the bill for Antichrist or the false prophet that would assist him. Now, until probably last few months, I guess, during this COVID crisis, I had not put a lot of work into looking at another fellow, Jared Kushner. I know some people say the Antichrist cannot be Jewish. Okay, I don't know. There's 25 different things that tell us what the Antichrist may do or be. And neither Jared Kushner nor Mohammed bin Salman have actually filled, you know, more than about 25% of those, as far as I can see, because it's just not time yet. But when this Middle East peace treaty came into being, and so much of being done very quietly under the table, it just suddenly leapt out in the news here in the last few weeks. I had to take another look at both Mohammed bin Salman and Jared Kushner to see if their credentials for being an Antichrist or a false prophet had improved. And I really was surprised. I looked at Mohammed bin Salman. Most of his news of late has been that he's a playboy, that he spent $50 million on a little island retreat for him and about 12 or 15 of his friends from Saudi Arabia to have an orgy, basically what it was. And he's blown $450 million on an art painting and $500 million on a yacht. And he's just throwing money like crazy and having a good time. Now, that didn't impress me as the type of person that would be able to make military strategies and, you know, be like an Antichrist dictator leader of the planet. However, they do behead people for crimes in Saudi Arabia. So I thought, oh, okay, Antichrist is going to behead Christians during the tribulation. Maybe that's him. And so I brought him back in on the list a bit, you know. And then I looked at Jared Kushner, and I realized that he's no dummy. He's very brilliant. He has been the architect of this Middle East peace treaty. He's been advising President Trump on all kinds of things, including COVID-19 crisis. And I started to wonder, Jared Kushner, how do you spell that in Hebrew? It's K-U-S-H, well, in English, I-R, it's not E-R, it's Kushner, which sums in Hebrew to 666. And, of course, he bought 666, what's his name, Avenue. He bought that building from the Trump group. And he's been a lifelong friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. So, you know, his connections to Israel are very strong, and his connection to Netanyahu and to Trump now, of course, have given him a perfect opportunity to go in and be the architect of the Middle East peace treaty. I've been trying to understand by retranslating Daniel, particularly the areas about the Antichrist, and try to see if he can be from the tribe of Dan, if he can, that Kushner talked about, if he, you know, can be Jewish, in other words, to be the Antichrist, and various other things that Kushner's been doing. I wanted to translate, was he the architect, the ratifier, one of the signees, according to Daniel, of the treaty? Now, have you ever looked at that, what that word means, like to ratify the treaty? It, you know, I've been trying to figure that out myself. And basically it means that he's like the leader of the treaty, okay, of the treaty process. If there's anybody, it's Jared Kushner, who's been out there leading these Arab nations into an agreement to have peace with Israel. He's done so much in this that the Palestinians are complaining because the Saudis and various other powerful Arab nations are not supporting Palestinians' a viewpoint on what they want from Israel for a treaty. So now Saudi Arabia is the one to watch there because they control funding and support for the Palestinians. And if they cut it off, the Palestinians are floating without a backdrop. You know, they're useless. So they're going to have to conform to this new treaty to appease the Saudis and various other members of the Arabic Union. So we see a very complex, interlocked condition in the Middle East, as best I can say. And I've looked at another thing here, too, about young Jared Kushner. Let me see if I've got that here somewhere. Yeah.
Let me. You're getting real specific about Antichrist possibilities, that kind of thing. Let's back off for 1 second for our audience. I mean, they may not know about the treaty or whatever's going on. Give us a little background for our audience. What treaty are we talking about? What are the two sides? What is being discussed here? Because I think that this is really important.
Well, the treaty is one in a long line of several types of treaties that have been made between Israel and various Muslim nations. Well, like Egypt was one. And in the late 1990s, this treaty was drawn up in what's called the Oslo Accords. And there they put together a treaty for all the parties they were talking to at the time. Say, look, let's have peace between us and let's make these agreements for a period of 7 years and see if we like it. Now, when that happened back in the late 90s, I thought, wow, 7 years, that's got to be the treaty spoken of by Daniel. But it fizzled. Now, the principal architect of that was Nimrod Novik, who was the gopher for Shimon Peres. Now, Nimrod Novik is still there in Israel, and he's on the scene, but he's like my age, he's older. He's not like Jared Kushner. Now, Jared Kushner, being President Trump's son-in-law, has mentioned, I think it was back in January, the first part, when they started pushing this thing that he would go and represent President Trump in the Middle East to bring peace and, you know, and safety in the Middle East and to us. You know, and President Trump got elected for the Nobel Peace Prize now for his work in the Middle East. But basically, his work was Jared Kushner's work. And I've got a video on that. In fact, let me just see. You can go to our show images page and look at slide 54. We are in prophetic times. Israel declares peace and safety with emerging leader being Jared Kushner. Look at that video when you get off the air and see how many things Jared Kushner does there to influence President Trump, but also to influence all the leaders of the Middle East. Now, for him to do that, of course, he had to have a knowledge of the Middle East and the you know, the skeletons, the closet, and everything, the various leaders. There's even a shot there in that video of him on a it's like an indoor soccer court, and Netanyahu has his foot on the soccer ball and is looking at Jared. When Jared and his family entertained Prime Minister Netanyahu, they let him sleep in Jared's room, and, you know, Jared slept on the couch or the basement or something, but that's how close they are. So he has this peculiar or unique relationship with the Israelis, and he has met with now all kinds of Arab leaders. So, you know, he's the guy that's organizing this peace treaty, which I'm sure the Bible speaks of, especially in Daniel, because the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation of John are closely interlinked. They enhance one another and translate one another. And we're seeing these things happen now, and to me it's happening so quickly, watching this peace process, that it's like what the Bible says, it'll be like the birth pangs of a woman in labor, getting closer and closer and closer and faster, you know, to the moment where the Antichrist takes over and starts the 7-year tribulation. Now, I don't know.
Let me interject. Trump is very close, obviously, to his son-in-law, I assume. I mean, I don't know personally, but I assume he's close. What does that say to you about Trump, if he's so close to Kushner and Trump's involvement in all this? And, you know, what do you make of Trump?
Well, it's an obvious question. And, you know, I'm a Trump supporter because the other team, what they would do to the country is so bad, what they would do to our faith is so bad that I couldn't vote for them. Now, President Trump may just be a vehicle that Jared is using to promote himself into this higher position. I don't know that I've seen anything about President Trump that would indicate that he's a, you know, Antichrist or the false prophet, but I could be wrong. Okay. I reserve that.
I don't mean in terms of that, you know, that level, that being that dramatic about it, but just, you know, his involvement with kind of this peace process and you know what I mean? What's your impression of Trump? I don't know what I'm asking, other than a very general question.
Well, look, he's done a lot of things that Holly and I really approve of as far as turning the country back on the right path, back into the Bible, back into God. And he has the support of the evangelical group. You've seen him pray with them in the White House many times. Right now, I would say that he basically, you know, with a few exceptions, keeps his word about what he's going to do. And the exceptions may be because he just couldn't get to Congress or the, you know, the supporters there in the Senate to do what he wanted. At this moment, would I vote for Trump? Yes. But what? Understand that there's going to be a delusion put across the people of this planet that's so clever it would fool even the very elect people of Jesus. So
what is that delusion? What's the core of that delusion?
Well, it's going to convince, let's say, even the evangelicals that aren't reading the Bible close enough. It's going to convince them that what happens in the Middle East and the guy that causes that is a good guy and, you know, can, you know, solve the planet. It's like Holly and I go out and we talk to people and, you know, say, what do you think about this in the news and that in the news? And they kind of look blank and you realize that they're not tuned into it. They're kind of tuned out. They're following this kind of mantra that comes out of the government at the moment to do this with the shots, to do that with the Middle East. And it's like they're in a dream. They just are. And some of that dream is a nightmare because you talk to the people and they're really depressed. You know, in Walmart the other day, Holly said
scared,
she
scared, yeah.
Say again?
They're scared. I mean, I see people with the fear on their face. They're scared.
Yeah, yeah. And so
tell the story about Walmart. What were we about to say?
Well, she went into Walmart doing her weekly shopping there, and she said that there was just no chatter amongst the patrons and the staff like normal. People were very somber, as far as she could tell through the mask, of course,
yeah.
But you can tell by their attitude. And I had a guy out here yesterday that's an appraiser because we're getting our house refinanced to get the better interest rate. And I asked him about, you know, all the people he's been seeing. And he said, well, there's a lot of people that are kind of just down, you know, very somber.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
why would they
be? Yeah, yeah. I mean, but they don't see a light there. So this delusion may come when the quote unquote light, which might be Kushner, comes to the foreplay in the news saying peace and safety, the nuclear war is off, the Middle East isn't at war anymore. Israel has signed and given the Palestinians some property. And of course, mind you, this treaty is going to divide Israel land-wise, give the Palestinians some of Israel. actually, for the Palestinians, are even belongs to Israel, if truth be known. But they're going to further divide Israel in this new treaty. Now, there are going to be people, as I say, the Bible says it too, they'll shout peace and safety, but then shall sudden destruction be upon them, it says. So if we see that, and you're still here, not raptured or whatever, you better be making plans for not being able to own your house because you can't take the number, not have any money because you got to have a numbered bank account. Now, both Mohammed bin Salman and young Jared Kushner are very fluent in the global economic situation and like blockchain and all those kind of things. So they both qualify in setting up the new world order, financial order. We are seeing signs of a financial collapse here in the United States, hence the world, because right now the world economy hangs on it. But anyway, there's another thing too, a delusion or a deception that Jesus spoke about in Matthew. And he didn't specify, but he says it'll be a deception so clever that it would fool all of the elect, the followers of him, if such were possible. So I tried to figure out what would affect not just America, but the whole world. What would get the attention of the whole world? And I always come back to a quote-unquote alien landing, you know, officially being here and officially saying, we mean you no harm, we come in peace to solve all your problems. And that kind of a deception is there.
All right, let me interject. You've had very high-level clearance in the government. You've worked undercover in a lot of things. We've heard things about Project Bluebeam, you know, that the government has the possibility to fake even the second coming through holographic images. I have to believe that they have the ability to fake a alien situation. I mean, you were right in the middle of this. I mean, did you hear kind of whispers of these kind of things? Did you see this potential?
I saw the potential. My involvement was down in Australia with Dr. Edward Teller's group. Of course, Russians had the equivalent. The British had their equivalent. Canada and New Zealand. All of these nations were behind the scenes, not the governments, but the socioeconomic, political figures weren't so much in it. It was the scientists and the rich people that were controlling the world. And they were looking at this in 1948, I believe it was, after World War II was over. All the allies got together and started looking at a way that they could bring peace to the earth because they knew that the random use of atomic bombs would destroy the planet. So they had to have a way to control all the nations and limit the use or access to nuclear weapons. And they realized, you know, the first option was like the League of Nations and United Nations. Those efforts were going to fail all the time because you can't get three people in a room and get them to agree really on a single thing, to drink a cup of coffee. So that option was not going to be done again. It obviously wouldn't. It was like a democratic United Nations. It wouldn't work. Too many people pulling different directions. Then they looked at what Hitler had done. They just defeated him. He tried to force the people of Earth into a dictatorship so that he could then control everything, which on a surface, I think a world government is good if it's run by Jesus, run by a guy who built the planet, you know, who knows what it's for.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't trust me being the world leader, you know, and I like me, but I wouldn't do that because I'm fallible. Okay, so they said option one, option two didn't work. So what's the third alternative? Alternative three, and you may have heard that in your youth floated around. Alternative three was coerce, fool the people into taking a look at a world government for a period of time. How do we do that? We have to have someone or someones arrive without any baggage, no cultural baggage, no political baggage, no religious baggage, no financial baggage, just off the planet. And that's when the guy started thinking, well, can we conceal from the public various technologies that would allow us to make a fake landing? Well, in 1960-ish, surprise, surprise, they found out we really do have aliens out there, and they've been with us for some time. But these, in my opinion, are fallen ones, or either the gray critters they talk about are biological robots that Satan has, created to give this illusion of bad UFO guys and good UFO guys. So we have a situation coming up for, you know, Satan is an imposter. He likes to put the fake plan to us before the real plan comes by Jesus. So the guys started to, you know, letting these fallen ones have underground bases. We protected them undersea locations and in Arizona and the South Pole underneath the ice cap. There are a number of places where this joint group of, not politicians, or rich people and scientific people got together and put these aliens into safe places, gave them technology, infrastructure to build the weapons and things that they needed for a war with somewhere back where they came from. And so we're helping them. You see, they got gated in here by coming through a parallel universe. That's a story anyway. And that we started all this help with them, and we helped them up until the late, say, 1975 to 1978, in that period of time. They had built enough of what they needed that they didn't need human help anymore. They ran us off the bases, and they were shooting battles at various of the bases as they kicked us out. Now, since that time, humans' participation in their operation has been somewhat limited, as far as I could tell. We were disbanded in Teller's group. Some of my, security people that I knew there, they stayed in Australia, and I met with some of them over in Perth and got their side of what was happening. And basically, the shutdown of Teller's group just shot people everywhere, all over the planet, you know, to keep them safe. And the records were destroyed. I know mine were. They certainly burned a lot of them up. But this was all, you know, like a Blue Beam type project, except we're not in charge of it anymore. And real critters, if you want, are coming. Some look like us, a little bit taller. In my briefing, they said that they had skin that was, like very, very tiny scales, so that in the sunlight, if they held their hand up like that, you'd see like an oil slick rainbow on the skin, and it kind of moved with the texture of the skin. To my knowledge, I've never met one of these. I suspect one meeting at the United Nations people. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
There's the music. We're talking to Stan Deo, standeo.com. Of course, he's an intriguing, provocative, and a very deep thinker. And that's what we like. We need to think. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat New Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease, it's just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Stan Deo has made a reputation of taking the Bible, the history part of it, the spiritual aspects of it, the prophecy aspects of it, and relate it to modern day and our most recent past. And it's fascinating. StanDeo.com. He is well known across the world. StanDeo.com is his website. ThePowerMall.com is our website, and the Power Hour, the Power Hour, ThePowerMall.com. That's all the great specials, all the great products like the Health Point Machine and these great t-shirts, as you can see. Thank you for your support, your purchases, your donations, all of the above. That's what keeps us here, independent media. We're supported by you. If you notice, the New World Order hasn't squelched independent thought, and it can't. If we don't allow it, it won't happen. And it's because we're here because of you. We don't get a check from George Soros. We get purchases and donations from you. So there you go. You have power, and we are here because of you. And that's why we like it. ThePowerMall.com. If you don't get these products from us, where are you going to get them? Because you need them. They're not in the soil anymore, the nutrients, the all the above. You know the deal. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Getting back to Stan, Mark of the Beast. I remember being a young child and talk of Mark of the Beast and the Antichrist and all that in church and around Christian realms. This was like commonplace. This was common discussions. I grew up in the South, so that's probably one of the reasons people seem to be much more religious there in a certain way. But this was common discussions. Now, 40 or so years later, I don't know if these discussions are as common to the young people. I mean, you know, when people would say, well, you're going to get a vaccine, there's going to be a tattoo on it, it's going to be a mark on you. I mean, 40 years ago, it would have been like, what is this? This is the mark of the beast. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Now it's like, okay, this is great. Let's all go do it. I don't know. I just wanted to get your perception, kind of that people's awareness of this prophecy, and also, as we go forward, discussions of things like vaccines and marks that we're seeing.
Well, first of all, the Bible talking about that mark being on your body or, you know, your right hand or your forehead, that's a mark that people will have to consciously take and pledge allegiance to a new world leader of some description. Now, getting the vaccine and a mark from that is not that. That's a different directive, you know, by our local governments and whatever. So what we have to look at is what kind of a mark is going to be required for you to buy or sell. Now, basically, it is a digital currency exchange digitally. It's digital currency. I mean, if you look at Bitcoin, if you look at,
very chain, you know, blockchain technology.
Yeah. You know, in fact, blockchain, Mohammed bin Salman has heavily invested in that, to develop a new kind of global economic system. So as playboyish as he look, he is doing things in the banking situation globally that mean that we might be seeing, a global digital currency. Now, why would this have to happen very shortly? Best evidence we've got, or best technology, we can do that today. There are computers in place, quantum computers and various others, that would allow us to run an entire planet using just a number for each person and storing all their key data in it. The United States is a key pin in holding the whole world economy together. And we see evidence of the U.S. economy starting to take a dive before the end of the year sometime. It might be at the election time or just after. But whenever the people that sell gold and silver are saying, look for a big crash, you know, between now and December or the end of December. When, I don't know. But if we get an economic crash in the United States like that, it's going to hit the rest of the world. I mean, if we get a sniffle, the world dies of pneumonia. It just, that's just the way it is. So to solve the problem, surprise, surprise, whoever's in charge at that time is going to say, oh, look, we know that you can't get, your money is inflated terribly. You can't get enough. You can't find enough currency. In fact, if you go to the bank now, you're going to see that some banks are limiting you to a $1,500 draw in cash of your own account. So they're starting to dry up currency and coin so that you have to depend on credit cards or our TVs are linked. When Holly turned hers on, it turned mine on. But anyway, with this global crisis in cash, you won't be able to pay your rent or your mortgage. You won't be able to receive money from your employer unless you have a digital ID. Now that kind of an ID would work in that you would have to say, well, look, I support your system. You know, guy, give me access to the digital world currency and let me keep my house and get my income and everything else. Great way to handle inflation, they say, because, hey, if anything gets inflated, we just automatically adjust it in your account for you, and you still got the same buying power. Okay. So with this, they monitor everything you do, everything you receive, everything you spend money on. It gives them a profile of you and a way to control you if necessary. So that's the mark of the beast that we've got to worry about. And it's in the works now. And, who's going to control it yet? I'm not sure. I know MBS has his foot in the pond there, and Jared is working on the Middle East Peace Treaty, so I don't know what he's doing as far as Bitcoin and that kind of stuff. But I think you don't have to worry. Just if you don't subscribe to the New World Order just to keep your house and stuff, then I think you're okay if you're here. In fact, I don't even know if you're going to be here when that happens.
You talk about delusion. One of the biggest delusions that I've seen lately is that people think a paper mask that you can see the sun through is going to stop a virus. somehow they think that stops a virus.
I mean, yeah, even that, if you put those masks on, don't you breathe through the sides and then go up under your glasses? I mean, the air exchange is straight past the mask.
Right, it's ridiculous. To my mind, it's ridiculous. What is going on with these masks? Is this some submission ritual? Is this what is this?
I don't know. It certainly is ruining the economy, this shutdown and the mask business, and everybody's afraid to do anything. The virus is there. I mean, people are dying of it, but the control of us this way is quite indicative of a dictatorship coming. And what I see is, whether it's Donald Trump purposely doing it or not, when the election comes, if we actually get to it and get to take a vote, no matter which side wins, we're going to see civil disorder. We're going to see, riots increasing. So the masks just may be a way, as a forerunner, to give the government that time the ability to make military or martial law in various states and cities to, help us. But it gets us conditioned to listen to the government and follow what they're saying. An argument could be made for what President Trump did is correct. I don't know. None of us really know the inside story about what's going on. People have been proven to be lying in all this. So, some of my friends and I and associates, when we're outside, okay, we'll wear the mask so we don't get arrested by the local police. But when we're back in our meetings and stuff, take the mask off and just be normal people.
State are you in?
Colorado.
Is it pretty draconian there? Are they pretty heavy-handed, or what's the atmosphere?
I, I don't know. I mean, they passed that law that you can't be in a public place or putting out signs everywhere without the mask, or you get fined or arrested or whatever. I haven't personally heard of anyone being arrested for that, but the signs are there and the law is there.
Well, law is a strong word. It's against the Bill of Rights, so it's not a law, but it's a statute. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. Sorry.
you don't have to apologize to me, Stan. We're allowing this because it's against the law. You can't tell me to do something. That's against the Bill of Rights. And so is the Bill of Rights the law or isn't it? I mean, at some point, that's what we're going to be fighting about in the streets. And we're not even going to know because we went to this public school and they don't even talk about that anymore. But that's another story. I want to go back to aliens. Your work there in Australia, what have you. Tell us a little bit more about that. Did you see aliens? Do people you work with see aliens? Tell us a little bit about that.
Some of the security team said they did. There was one time in Perth after I was out of the organization that I was contacted by a man and wife team from the United Nations. They'd come to Perth for some purpose. I don't know what. But they rang me up and said, could you come over and have a chat with us about your work, you know, with Dr. Teller? So, you know, the alarm bells go off at that time. So anyway, I go on over to their house, and it wasn't far from where I live there in Perth. And a blonde woman, pretty, you know, reasonably tall, and the husband taller than her, slender. But when I walked into their living room, this is a weird thing. I only felt this one other time when I was in the caves of the Qumran, where there was a wild animal that had been devouring some animal, other animals. I could feel the presence of evil. With them, I felt like the canary in the cage, and the cat's out there, and the door's open. They just gave me a creepy feeling. I can't explain it. The things they asked me, you know, were definitely global type issues with it.
Like what? What were they, like what would they ask you?
Well, like what I thought about, world currency and a global government, and they were part of an advisory team doing that over.
What year was this?
Let's see, 78. Yeah, about probably in the early 80s.
They're asking you about global currency at that time, that far back.
And they were very familiar with the Club of Rome doctrines and said that sure, they must agree that that's the way we have to do things.
That was their attitude. So that was in United Nations
going
representative. It was all, they all knew this behind the scenes. They all talked about this global governance, Club of Rome. We need less people. The whole, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
So that was almost.
And basically see what I thought about, I guess, to be recruited. Actually, I got another call from a guy in the United Nations. You'll laugh at his name. He's a Frenchman. His name was, his last name was Fouquineau. You can play with that one.
Don't say that fast.
I know. But he was with the Science Commission for the Knights Templar there, believe it or not. And they wanted me to join them and do my research.
Whoa, Stan. He's up now. Hold on. Okay, they talked to you about being recruited, the first couple, and then this is another. When you say recruited, what they want to – so they're going to have you part of their group, and then you go out and perpetuate this overall doctrine? Or what does that mean to be?
I guess. Well, in fact, there were three approaches I got to join the group. Those two were, related like to the United Nations. But there was a very powerful man, a very rich man, Lang Hancock, in West Australia where I was living. And before I had written my book, I was being somewhat vocal with church groups telling them, look, your prophecies, if you're studying, you're going to see what's happening, this global group, this global government, blah, 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 and about my work with the UFO business. Now, I was invited to a meeting by Lang Hancock's attorney. Now, remember, this guy flew Edward Teller around his private jet for his birthday and stuff, and just
tell people who Ed Teller is, just so they
know. Edward Teller was kind of nicknamed the father of the hydrogen bomb. He's a very bright man, Hungarian fellow, and he developed or had the program where they developed the hydrogen bomb. Anyway, he was the head of my project, for this development of anti-gravity and various other technologies for our own saucer craft. Going back to Perth now, I was called by Lang Hancock's attorney to come to a meeting with them, with him and a couple of other gentlemen. I forget their names, but they were representing Lang Hancock, to a private meeting to discuss my involvement with tell her and all the other things that I've been doing. And it was a friendly type invitation, but I was still cautious because at that time I was still, you know, I didn't have business or anything else like that. I was just contracting to survive. And so I went to the meeting place. It was, I think it was called the Paddington Hotel, I think it was, in the middle of Perth. It was a hotel anyway, and down the ground floor was like a restaurant. And it was during the daytime, so I felt pretty comfortable with that. So I go in there, and they usher me back to a back room, but you could still see the people outside. They weren't being allowed in. They cleared the whole restaurant and gave the party I was going to see all of the restaurant if they wanted it. And what it boiled down to was they said, look, we know that you would like to continue your research, and we'd like to make that happen for you. As you know, Mr. Hancock has properties up north in the mining field. Do you need engineering people? I mean, how many staff do you need? What kind of a building would you like to have? And I said, what? You know, it came out just like that quick. And I said, what do you mean? I said, well, look, we want you to realize that your work is important, but we don't want to tell everybody about this kind of stuff right now. So we can make this happen for you. You know, we've got plenty of money to make it happen for you. You wouldn't want to talk to people about it, but it's going to be up there in the north. Okay, so already my alarm bells are going off. All right. You know, I'll need to think about that. And they said, oh, well, here's the kicker. You know we're setting up a world government. I said, yes. How would you like to run Australia as your own country? And at that point, I thought, this is crazy. This doesn't happen. And I said, well, no, not really. Thank you, guys. I'll be seeing you. And got up and left. Now, that really happened. What would you do?
I'd be shaken. I would be shaken. You know, one thing about this broadcast and the people we have on, the guests like you, our guests are just such world class, and they've been there, they've done that, they've seen this. And our audience, and when I'm doing research, and especially before I was on the show, you know, you hear these things, you study these things, you have some understanding of these things. You get through different levels where then it's put in your face and the reality of it becomes so much more clear. And what you just said in that situation, it would be like you talk about an ultimate paradigm shift. I mean, you ask me, you put on me what, I mean, you talk about this is not theory anymore. This is not, you know, whatever, some tinfoil hat. I mean, this is, they're sitting here talking and offering things to me and discussing this, what they are denying all throughout the world that is happening. They're talking about it matter-of-factly. It's crazy. The story is crazy.
And look, you know, people could say, okay, you're delusional or whatever, but it did happen. And I wondered about me too. You know, I thought, did I hear this? were the three.
Yeah. Talk about more of the, so, I mean, I don't even know what to ask. How quick was this meeting? I mean, who was that? Not who, but whatever. What was the tenor of this meeting? Did they just come out like that? I mean, did you have steak or what?
No, it was just pretty much down to business right there. We were sitting in a room that was big enough for maybe 8-10 people. And, there's the back wall, and then these walls come out here, and this is all open out here in the front into the restaurant area, and there are people out in the street waiting to get in, but they're not letting anybody in while we're having our discussion. And it was basically just for that. It wasn't to sit there and have a nice meal while, you know, people waited. It was to talk to me about not making this public.
Not making what public?
Oh, the world government, my work with Teller's group and the anti-gravity and how it was all a cover-up, and, you know, this is what we're really doing behind the scenes. So instead of wiping me out, because perhaps that was too much publicity, I guess, I don't know. I'd been talking a lot by that time. But after that meeting is when I I think it was when I went on TV then on a UFO show that I was invited to do. And I told about the New World Order then and the technology we were hiding and that kind of stuff. And shortly thereafter, within a year, I'd written and published a book, you know, Cosmic Conspiracy, which went to a lot of countries.
Do you think that kept you safe? You know, because I think people, when they talk, sometimes it keeps them safe.
They've talked. I wondered. Years later, in 96, when I was still down there, Holly and I got a phone call from a lady over on the other side of Australia in Sydney. And she says, is this you? You know, I said, yeah. And did you write a book? Yeah. I said, why are you asking these questions? And she said, President Clinton and Secretary of Defense Jim Schlesinger just came through on the way to China. I said, no, I didn't know that, but okay. She said, well, I was in the at the edge of the park there in Sydney. I forget the name of the park, but it was had a like an art museum there, and she was in the side of that art museum looking at paintings and stuff. And a tall gentleman came up behind her and says, what do you think about this and that about the painting? And started a discussion with her. She says, oh, you're a Yank, aren't you? And turned around and looked at him. He said, yeah. And she says, you know, what are you doing over here? So I'm with the President Clinton here. He said, I'm the Secretary of Defense, or former Secretary of Defense at that time. And she says, well, why are you here? She said, oh, just a business trip. And she says, how do I know that you're what you say you are? And she says, he says, well, you don't. And he walked off and listened to some guy that was speaking on the soapbox over there about something. And she went over later to listen to the soapbox guy. And he approached her again. And she says, want to have a chat? See down there in the park there in that little green space where that bench is. Come on down there with me and I'll just tell you something. All right. So she went down there. And she says, you got to show me that you're, the Secretary of Defense. He opened up and he said, this is it here. And this little wire here goes to the radio for those men up on the edge of the green there who will come running if I call them. She says, okay, if you're who you say you are, tell me about UFOs, the secret. And she said, he laughed. And he said, well, no, I can't do that. That's classified. But what I can tell you is the plot. The game plan is in a book written by Stan Deo called The Cosmic Conspiracy. He lives over on the other side of the country. And she said, okay. And they had it and shook and whatever. And eventually he went off and she went home. And then she called me up. So wife and I thought, well, let's be sure that she was talking to Schlesinger. So we got some black and white shots of Schlesinger and a couple of other guys that were, U.S. government senators or whatever. And we faxed them over to her at that time. And we said, okay. Do any of these look like the guy? She put her finger right on, James Schlesinger. And I thought, right, okay, here's what it's about. I'll send you a copy of the book. And we talked a while and then hung up. Now, that was in 96. Well, in 2000, in the year 2000, I was trying to come back to the United States because my passport and citizenship had been taken away to lock me into Australia years before. I've still got the letters to prove that, but, I applied for 6 months to the Australian desk, they call it, at the State Department to get, some kind of a permit to come in and see my mother and father who were elderly and sick and, at least see them before they pass. And, my file got lost, they said, on the desk. And then the guy that was on the desk went on holiday, then on vacation for, 3 months. And he was gone. And I was getting really frustrated. And I thought, well, Schlesinger, he knows who I am. And he told the girl that they had copies of my book in the White House and in the Department of Defense. And they were intrigued by it. And so I thought, well, I'll call Jim Schlesinger. He's no longer in office. He's working with the Lehman Brothers. I'll look it up the number and rang him. Secretary answered there. She said, Dr. Schlesinger's out to lunch right now. I said, can I leave a message? And she said, sure. Tell him Stan Deo needs a favor. And that was it. 3 days later, I got a call from the American consulate in Melbourne saying, oh, Mr. Deo, surprise, surprise, they found your file. You have never lost your citizenship. It was an accident. We're sending you a new, passport to welcome home. Do you have children you had down there? Yeah, well, they're all now American citizens, and here are the passports. Can you believe that?
You get the sense like these people, like if you had dinner with Bill Clinton or you went bowling with Bill Clinton, he would be a hoot. But then behind the scenes, he'd cut your throat. It's like they want you to be part of this. If you're part of it, everything's good. If you're not part, what's the dynamic there? It's like some crazy deluded dynamic.
It is. And I ask myself, as do others, why are you still breathing? Why are they taking care of you? I don't have an answer.
Only got 2 minutes. Why? You need to come on a lot more. This is great. These stories of yours are just fantastic. Cosmic Conspiracy, is that? But what's your newest book? Is there a new book you want to promote? Standeo.com is the website.
Well, not mine, but Holly has had a book out for some time called Dare to Prepare.
Dare to Prepare.
It's become the Bible for people to prepare for various catastrophes, including, collapse of society, prepper type stuff. But still, it's what we do, and she's written that. That's a very popular book. And another one, which you just finished a couple of years back, was Prophetic Perils. And that tells about current events revealing, the prophecies are being fulfilled. Go to our site, standale.com, every day, news. And also, we can do another show. I want to talk to you fairly soon about the Chinese war we're going to have and the Russian invasion and EMP strikes.
What year? We got like 1.5 minutes. Like what year are we talking about for that?
It could be this year or next year. Just look at the rhetoric between.
Well, I don't think it is. I hope not. I hope not.
The Chinese are positioned. Yeah, go on.
No, we just don't have much time. Let's have you on to talk about that in depth. I'm excited about that. Last question, Australia. You spent a lot of time there. Australia is darn near, especially Melbourne, is darn near a lockdown city.
Yes.
What do you make of that?
We still have friends and family down there, and I'm glad I'm not there, but the control of the country is just amazing. They were left wing. Their right wing was really left wing anyway, but they've locked down the whole state, like I said. Not just Melbourne. All of Victoria is locked down. You can't get across it without a pass.
Without your papers. Show your papers, please.
Yeah, it's so good, so good.
Very good, very good. You're no good. Anyway, Stan Deo is great, and we're so excited to have him on. StanDeo.com is his website. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. Everything is on the table. You know the extent of what we're dealing with, or at least you can feel it in some sense. We love you. Our hearts go out to you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Stan, stay right there. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.